We're going to shore up our Kings villains bracket coming up at 8 o'clock. Aaron Aflalo, newest Sacramento King, will join us at 8:30. Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is coming October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park. Tool Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets on sale now. For more info, aftershockconcert.com. Nate apparently ate something wrong last night. I swear if that gets over to me, we're going to fist fight.
You missed it, Dave.
I'm glad.
While you were gone,
yeah.
During a break, Nate came and sat just like, you know how he sits up against the wall on the ground and stuff.
I don't want to get too deep
during
in on
a
this,
break.
No need
and we
to.
Were talking,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, my nose got assaulted,
dude.
And it was so bad that we opened the doors and everything, and it lasted an entire segment. Matt came in to see if what all the fuss was about after the segment ended. And only made it to the entrance of the door. Didn't even walk in the studio and turned around and walked out.
Like getting punched in the face.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Man.
I mean, maybe
it's assault.
Maybe we just establish the studio is off limits rule.
I mean,
there's
whatever.
A whole hallway out
like,
there.
Like I try to run outside sometimes, and sometimes it follows me, and then sometimes we're just on the air.
Cut
you know?
The trail, dude. Cut the trail.
I walk backwards.
I have no idea how to segue into this. And for those of you
There's
joining
no way
us,
to do it.
For those of you whose alarms went off at 7 a.m. and this is the first taste you're getting of the show, we apologize. Welcome in 339-1140.
It could be worse. You could actually be in the studio getting a taste of it.
Oh, is that why you came out to talk to me? Okay, now I know why. Now I know with 30 seconds left in the break.
No,
you,
I came out to talk to you.
Hey, how are you?
You brought it up, dude. I was being a pro over here. Eating my baby carrots.
We've been talking way too much about USADA. The doping agency and what they've been doing as far as testing and getting fighters tested and testing positive, guys like Brock Lesnar is the main one we've been talking about. We all know about Jon Jones. Well, this is now something that's all too familiar, and this hits close to home as local kid Chad Mendez has received a 2-year suspension violating the anti-doping policy. He tested positive for GHRP6, which we all know is growth hormone-releasing hexapeptide.
Obviously.
Following an out-of-competition urine test conducted May 17th of this last year, it's a prohibited substance. He is gone. He would also forfeit.
And it dates back. So it dates back to technically his suspension starts.
And it's his suspension. His ineligibility began June 10th.
Okay.
That was the date he got the provisional suspension.
Right.
Now, most likely it's going to, as I understand it, because I think they've done this before, he'll be eligible a year from December because that was his last fight. His last fight was his knockout loss to Frankie Edgar at the Ultimate Fighter finale in Vegas.
So he's going to have to...
December 11th.
Does that mean he has to... The winnings from that.
Well, no.
That doesn't
count
because he tested okay before that fight.
He tested positive after that fight.
So he's not really losing any income that he's not giving any of his purse back for anything that he's won.
No.
He's not going to be able to fight.
Here's what's interesting, and it may give us some answers on Lesnar because it says he would lose, be disqualified from the results. And also forfeit any title, ranking, purse, or other compensation.
Yeah.
Had that fight happened after he tested positive May 17th. So if that carries over to Brock Lesnar, then that tells you he also would have to forfeit all that. Since Chad hadn't fought since December, there's really nothing to forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to hurt Chad quite a bit in a sense that there goes your fighter income for the better part of 2 years.
He's 31.
He'll be 33, assumedly, when he gets back in. And now MMA fighters can fight until their late 30s, even early 40s, like Anderson Silva. But it's unfortunate on all counts. I'm not going to pretend to say it's a sadder story with Chad than it is with someone else just because we know Chad. But, it's a local kid out of the Team Alpha Male gym. So, it hits home a little bit as well.
I don't know. We've talked a lot about this, the doping situation with the UFC. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday, actually. And I just don't understand with the frequency. Obviously, the testing is working because plenty of guys are getting you know, kind of hit with it and suspended. And Chad being, you know, the most recent one to get a 2-year suspension. The most recent one we're hearing about, it was reported yesterday. I don't understand why these guys continue to do it.
Well, that's the thing, Katie. And here's what I wonder. And this is I think the topic here is the UFC partnering with USADA, and now all of a sudden you're seeing Silva, Jones, yeah, Lesnar, Mendez. Maybe what this does, hopefully what it does,
is clean up the sport.
Other fighters go, dude, everyone's getting popped. I need to go ahead and cycle off and be done with this because I can't afford to not fight for 2 years.
Right.
I can't afford to do it. And if top names like Brock Lesnar and Jon Jones, headliners at UFC 200, which they were trying to make the biggest fight in UFC history, if they're getting popped, well, then I can get popped too. Nobody's bigger than Lesnar and Jon Jones.
And this is not, this GHRP6, from what I've found, this is not just something that, like, slips into over-the-counter supplements.
Yeah, it's not like something you're getting from the supplement store.
Yeah, this is straight-up human growth hormone releasing anabolic steroid that can only be obtained like in very specific ways. It's not just hiding in your creatine or something like that. So, I mean, this is like a much more calculated than, I didn't pay attention, guys.
Dave, you've been a longtime fan of the UFC, and
I doubt that Chad's the only one.
Sure,
yes,
of course.
No, but you've been a longtime fan of the UFC, and I'm kind of, I appreciate it to a certain degree, but I still kind of question it a little bit. From your point of view as a fan,
yes,
does it matter to you if these guys are doping or not? Do you want to see it be clean? Do you not care? Do you really just want to see people beat the pulp out of each other and not care if it's to the extent of where they're doping and doing it illegally?
Here's a answer to the best answer I can muster to a complex question. If you told me that every single person in the UFC was doping, I'd be fine with it. I wouldn't care. If every single
As long as everybody's doing
as
it.
Okay. But that's not a reality.
So as long as everyone's putting something fake into their body to get unhuman results.
My problem isn't necessarily with, I don't want to see a guy who's doped up fight. Let's be real here. Okay?
So as long as they all look like Brock Lesnar.
We're watching human gladiators go at it, the closest thing we have, trying to make each other unconscious. This is a brutal alpha type sport that communicates to a certain part of your brain. So I'm not going to try to tiptoe around it. However, my issue is, and why I care, is for the fighters that are clean, that don't dope, that don't do anything illegal, and they step into the octagon against Juicy McJuicerton, who not only is it cheating, but this isn't baseball, this isn't even football or basketball. This is life or death, and Nate, you asked Ariel Helwani yesterday a question, and you were talking like assault with a deadly weapon when you come in all juiced out. It's not like, oh, he's going to hit harder on the football field, or, oh, he's going to hit a longer home run. No, he's going to hit you in the face with his fist a lot harder.
Or
perhaps
his knee.
Right, causing massive amounts of damages. So, yes, I'll put it like this. If they created a separate league, JFC, Juicers Fighting Championship, and the rule was if they test and you get suspended if you test negative,
right,
you have to juice. I'd watch it.
I just want your analogy about the modern day gladiators is well said, but it's completely off base. Just so you know. I just want to
just
point
so
that out there.
Know.
Just from a historical standpoint.
She gets her water from a well, actually.
Oh, God. She's been here.
This is what I studied. Just from a historical standpoint, I appreciate the fact that these guys get into a ring and absolutely have to fight themselves out of it.
Yes.
However, they're not fighting to the death. They're not slaves
they're not
that
forced.
Are enslaved,
yes,
that are forced
it was a
to fight.
Very innocent
yes.
analogy.
So I'm just saying.
The closest
I'm just saying.
Gladiators are these guys.
They
don't have to dodge lions either, Katie.
No, they don't.
Nope,
there's
they don't.
No animals.
There's no Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta
there's
aren't in a special
someone
box
up there going
the,
like
the thumb
up
and thumb
down.
Yeah.
But no, they kind of are in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, when you've got the fans going, just bleed. They're not throwing loaves of bread into the crowd, so
and
lucky
I mean, they're
fans
they're
can
doing
eat.
It for a lot of money.
Yes,
so yes, just saying. Just want to clarify that.
Well, I'm glad.
You know, just
history much, Dave?
Yeah, I know. Well, and again, seriously, there's nothing more dangerous than Katie when she gets on a roll with shows, and she's been very vocal about watching the History Channel lately.
No, that's not about the History Channel.
Did you know?
That is literally what I spent my entire college, you know, time studying was classical civilization.
Maybe you should have spent more time on your jump shot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, Nate, have you ever gotten paid to shoot a basketball?
We fight?
Yeah, God. Let's do it now.
Dear Lordy.
I don't know. I spent enough time for it to, I don't know, pay me to do it professionally for quite a while.
Oh, back in your face. Shave your beard and go to the burn unit. All right, we'll take a break when we come back.
I'm not even mad. It's funny, actually.
Another pitcher got hit in the head.
I'm laughing
hey,
right now.
How you doing on the inside? Is it time baseball took care of these pitchers getting hit in the head? We'll tell you what happened. We'll talk about it next. And, hey, including audio from Curt Schilling. Everyone wants to hear that.
Oh, it's yeah.
The Drive, Sports 1140 KSDK. Techno.
Mortal Kombat.
No.
So one of the things, Dave, about getting a ride from Nate.
Hey, now.
You've ridden in my car multiple times, and you know the kind of music I listen to. I listen to about everything.
Yes.
At least I thought I did.
Yeah.
Until I ride with Nate. And then there was like some metal, like.
I noticed
metal
that yesterday
stuff.
When he was getting in the car. It was one
it's
of the.
It's like all like. What is it?
Yeah. Seriously, it's like typo negative on
sound
drugs.
Sound system that's supposed to be loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Can you imagine what I could do with that with my country music?
Ew.
No.
Selfish country music loving lady.
Hey. I do listen to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like Miguel is like my favorite right now. That's my jam.
I don't even know who that is.
Miguel.
Yes, you do.
Miguel.
Hey, Matt coming back. We'll do a Miguel song.
Hey, while we're doing that,
like Coffee in the Morning. That's a good one.
Join Sports 1140 for the Sacramento Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. And you can play your hard rock all you want. August 19th, California Museum. Katie, step back in time and enjoy an opulent party reminiscent of the great Gatsby era.
Gatsby.
Sampling of the finest. They're good looking. Whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region.
Everyone needs a little whiskey?
In addition, enjoy live entertainment and delicious bites from some of Sacramento's premier restaurants. Yeah, purchase your tickets at khtk.com. I'm actually looking at my calendar now.
Dave, you don't drink whiskey, do you?
I'm not really a
drinker at all, but can you say... Because we went a couple of years ago. Whiskey isn't really my thing. I'm not a big, huge fan of it.
We did go to this.
Yeah, we went with our buddy Sean Thomas.
Yeah, but I was...
A positive Sean.
I was the driver,
yeah.
If you remember correctly.
But
was this last 2 years?
This is like two, three years ago.
But, I mean, sampling, it's good. I actually like the smell of whiskey on somebody else. But, like, tasting it, it's not... You know, if someone...
That explains the whole Vegas thing.
Mm.
What Vegas thing?
Dave's jealousy at spending all your time with me.
Oh, okay. I got it. Wait, whiskey?
It's
that?
Like, what are you talking
Running
about?
Running a long way.
Hey, I don't really drink a lot, but I will tell you in my house, and this is going to sound so
Mel's a big...
foofy. Oh, God. Mel's a lush. I love her. Oh, she's listening right now.
Yeah, she's not,
she's
a,
not
lush
a lush, but she
all.
Drinks enough for both of us. She, but her thing, when I came back from Kentucky last year, I brought back a bottle of this Woodford Reserve bourbon. And now all she does, it's bourbon and ginger ale. That's all she does. And God bless her for it. I always have
a
bottle
of lime in it.
No, just ginger ale and bourbon. That's
Squeeze it. A little lime in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell her that. Mm-hmm. Although I don't need to encourage her. You know, call her mommy drunk by noon.
She's so bad.
I hope she's not listening. I will say this, though. I do have a bottle in my house, and I always do that. I hide from my dumb alcoholic friends.
Oh, so do I.
Of Johnny Walker Blue, which is ridiculously expensive. But that I can drink, and it's good, and I get hungover very easily. I've never gotten hungover off of that before.
Yeah.
So I was.
I don't
anyways.
Know. I guess I could probably sip a little, but like that's the thing. The whiskey tasting festival, I actually enjoyed it because it's a little sample.
I think
of
we
everything.
Should go. Point being, I was looking at the calendar. I leave for Mexico the next day.
Oh.
So that's the start of my vacation. Yeah. So that Friday, we should all roll out and have fun. And
Nate, you can get down like that.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just figured, you guys were having the conversation, you just assumed I was going to be there anyway.
Yeah. Well, of course you're going to be there.
The opulence reminiscent of the Great Gatsby era. Are you guys going to dress accordingly?
No.
Does that mean I'd have to wear, a corset?
I don't know. Wear one of those giant hats.
That's exactly what that means.
Yeah. A giant hat and one of those foofy, big, giant
like a lacy
dresses that kids can hide under if they want.
Stupid bicycles
with the tiny
wheel.
Could you imagine me in one of those
wheel?
Things?
Yeah.
You could hide a whole school bus under there.
It looked like a sundial. Jameson Tylon. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's a pitcher for the Pirates.
Tylons.
Thank you. He got hit in the head the other day by a 105-mile-an-hour hit. Guy came off his bat at 105 miles an hour, bounced off the back of his head. He stayed in the game, which is a whole different conversation in itself, because how the hell are you running concussion protocol in, 2 to 3 minutes and then putting a – here's my rule. If a guy gets hit in the head by a pitch, he comes out of the game. Pretty much almost always he comes out of the game, especially if he gets hit in the back of the noggin by 105 mile an hour.
It dropped him.
Dropped him dead to the ground.
Yes.
Wrong choice of words. Dropped him woozy to the ground.
Yes.
He got up and he made it happen. Here's my deal, and I guess we can continue this over the break. You remember Brandon McCarthy, who's now pitching again.
I know his wife very well. He was playing with the D-backs.
One of the best follows on Twitter for an athlete, right? When he was hit in the head. His brain swelled. He had to have a piece of his skull removed to make room for the swelling. He got out. He's now back pitching. It's a great story. His first tweet, his wife is like a former Miss America or a universe or something.
No.
I thought she was something. She's incredibly gorgeous. And his first tweet when he got out in all caps was, "Would now be the right time to ask for a threesome."
Yeah.
That was Brandon McCarthy's first tweet.
Those two, for those of you that are on the tweeter machine, is...
They're hilarious.
You have to follow both of them.
About Brandon McCarthy?
They're the best follow on Twitter, in my opinion.
Oh, what?
Those two.
I don't know. I just, Brandon McCarthy and his wife, they're great on Twitter.
They are, and Brandon McCarthy got hit in the head.
That was really, really bad.
So you remember Brandon McCarthy getting hit in the head, right? Yeah. That whole deal. So
I do.
My thing is this. At some point, do we just say pitchers need to be in helmets? Period. Why are they not in helmets? Now, I understand perhaps if you put them in a full helmet with, a face guard and all that, how you get into issues. But why are they, once upon
I'll
a time.
I'll tell you why. It's peer pressure.
And that's why Major League Baseball and the Players Union get together and they go, you know what? It is peer pressure, and this is an alpha environment, and there's testosterone everywhere. Let's make it easy for them. You are required to wear a helmet, and whether it's just a helmet on the head or it's a helmet with also a mouth guard. But I understand your eyes need to be able to see clearly. Mm-hmm. I get that when you're pitching. This is a game of millimeters. I understand that. And I'm sorry if that means that it's going to throw you for a while, but you make everybody this. Once upon a time, it was just unbelievable. You couldn't imagine a hockey player wearing a helmet. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. No freaking way. Hockey players played hockey with long hair flowing in the breeze and all that. Well, guess what now? Hockey players all wear helmets, and a lot of them wear face guards on top of that. And to imagine them not wearing a helmet, dude, what are you freaking talking about?
You're a psycho.
You're a psycho. Exactly. So at what point does baseball not take responsibility and get with the Players Association, who I can't imagine would be against this, and say, guys, next year we're instituting helmets? If you're on the mound, you're wearing a freaking helmet.
I just tweeted something out. You mentioned the guy that got hit in the head, played for the Pirates.
Yes.
I saw this great video on Facebook yesterday about a kid at a Pirates game that his emotions kind of run the gamut of every emotion that every sports fan has felt at one point or another, except for he had them all during one baseball game.
Okay, we'll
talk. Check that out on the Twitter.
And when we get back as well, Kurt Schilling makes some comments on this as well. In the next segment, though, it is our 7:30 sweep. We'll talk about some WNBA players got fined for shirts they were wearing and a little bit of a statement they were making. The NBA is nearing a decision on the Charlotte All-Star game. We'll delve into that and we'll finish up this topic on pitchers and helmets when we get back on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, just to finish up, welcome into the Drive on the pitchers and helmets deal. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, Dave, Katie, and Nate. Aaron Aflalo will join us at 8:30. We're going to shore up our Kings Villains bracket finally in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. So you've got pitchers and one recently on the Pirates getting hit in the head. And from the text line, a couple of great points. From the 916, what about a hockey helmet for the pitchers? Not too bulky, and they'd be able to see with no problems. Also from the 916, in fact, all these are from the 916. Guys, third base coaches are required to wear a helmet. Why not pitchers? There's a conversation there. And then finally, I believe baseball, and this person's correct, designed helmets for pitchers. Their union rejected it being mandatory for all pitchers. Now, somebody asking now from the 209 just came in, do you understand the minuscule percentage of pitchers that are pitches that get hit back at a pitcher?
Yeah.
Well, certainly, of course. And you can't legislate everything. But if you've got, here's what I do know. There's at least a handful of pitchers every year that get hit in the head by a pitch. Not, and we're not even talking about elbow, chest, leg, arm, whatever.
Even if you if a helmet will prevent it from happening to one person,
yeah,
it's worth it.
You'll get,
just because yeah. not a lot of pitchers get hit doesn't mean
when was
that
the last guy
you
that died
can't
from
prevent it.
Was the guy that died?
I mean, people aren't
or
dying.
Shouldn't
I mean,
prevent it.
Then it's no big deal.
No big deal. All right.
Now there might be a major. I could imagine a major league pitcher calling up right now and going, "Hey, stupid fat sports guy, you've never been 3-2 with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth, and you've had
a stupid helmet on your head,
throw a sinker in a 2-inch area from 60 feet 6 inches away, and you got a dumbass helmet on your head." And my point would be this: yes, you're right, and I'm very sympathetic to that. But if you made it mandatory for all pitchers at the same time going into next season, you give them an off season.
Yeah.
The pitchers will adjust to it. Some may not. But
yeah, they get washed out.
They'll
most of those guys.
Yeah.
But I think you'd
it's
be
like
more
deal with it.
I think you'd be more likely to see one of those big goofy padded hats, because there was one, I want to say he played for the Padres 1 or 2 years ago. He took one off the dome and had a hat commissioned that was, it was like a normal ball cap, but it had padding in it. And I think that's a little more likely just to see something that has, I don't know, has less weight on it. Because today, if you put a plastic shell on someone's head, no matter what, you're looking at like a couple of pounds, and that could just be the difference between being something really weird for a pitcher. So, I mean, I could see padded hats.
I don't know. I look at it this way, and it's not the same thing. I recognize it, but seatbelts didn't used to be the law either. Not even a lot. Like, there was a time when cars didn't even have seatbelts
in
them.
And the same,
people adjust
same,
to it.
The same
it's
with
like,
hockey helmets,
I feel constricted
too,
in my seat. Well, it's keeping you in your car so that you don't kill yourself.
All right. Put a helmet on and play basketball. Put on an 8-pound football helmet and tell me if you're comfortable doing
it. Well, I would imagine in basketball it's not required.
That's what I'm
asking. It's not the same thing.
You're not asking, you're telling.
No, that's not what I'm asking. Is you don't need an 8-pound football helmet for a pitcher. That's not the same thing. What I'm saying is you're having a hard object hit at you extremely fast. It can kill you. And yes, it hasn't, maybe it's not, it doesn't happen all the time. Oh, we haven't seen that happen in X amount of years, but it can happen. So why can't you take the steps to prevent it?
And again, even not killing, because don't get lost in that. Someone's trying to say, well, a lot of things could kill you. Stands could fall.
I stopped swimming years ago.
Could kill you. But whether it's Herb Score or Brandon McCarthy or this latest cat that got hit, I just feel like it's time at some point when you have players getting stronger, PEDs or no, technology getting better.
Bats
the balls
are better.
Balls are going are, exactly. Yeah. Put a freaking helmet on these guys. Figure it out. Make it happen. Give it to everybody. Let everybody deal with it. Kurt Schilling, though, who's always good for a good quote, says maybe it really comes down to fundamentals for pitchers.
I was just going to say that. Oh, my God.
And fundamentals for pitchers.
It blows your mind, doesn't it?
And in his opinion, why? Scary. So, hey, Nate Goodyear, Kurt Schilling, simpatico.
Yes.
Yeah, here he
they
is.
The same head.
He's asking, why force them? Let them make the choice. Well, they have the choice right now. And to Nate's point earlier, nobody, because of the way things are, especially in sports, tradition, etc., you don't want to be the guy that goes out there in a helmet. And then, God forbid, if maybe he's having a rough year or whatever, everybody's saying, oh, well, it's got to be the helmet.
Got to be a helmet.
Or if he gives up a 3-run jack in the ninth, if he wasn't wearing the helmet. One of the things that's advantageous about, quote, forcing them to wear a helmet is you take away being the guy. I would imagine that there are pitchers in baseball, and I'm just guessing here, that would secretly love for it to be mandated for helmets to be to be mandated.
Does Brandon McCarthy wear something now?
I don't think he does. And Brandon McCarthy,
I think he did for a while, right?
You're more likely to get injured as a fan in the stands from a ball or a bat than you are a pitcher coming back at you. So stop trying to sissify our game, David. I mean, what's next? A double play slide? You can take out collisions at the plate?
Is that right?
What's next?
You sound like this guy. Why not require helmets in MMA, too? Thanks for turning all athletes into high-paid ladies. So there
that
you
would
go.
Be hilarious.
High-paid ladies.
That's off the text line.
That's awesome. Yes. You're a special
human
being.
I'll bet you he drinks dark beer. He drinks real. He didn't put fruit in his beer, I guarantee
I'll
you.
I'll bet you he does not drink dark beer. I'll bet you his beer comes from a can.
One more.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
One more thing, since we're kind of wrapping up the whole steroids and pitchers and all that, we didn't get to Holly Holm. Holly Holm, who was briefly champion in the UFC, was talking about the quote unquote rampant steroid usage in the sport. Brock Lesnar testing positive, and his suspension is imminent. I'm sure we talked.
John Jones,
Chad Mendes now out for 2 years. So here we go, a story that I'm sure is not going to go away anytime soon. The WNBA has fined the New York Liberty, Phoenix Mercury, and Indiana Fever and their players for wearing black warm-up shirts after recent shootings by and against police officers. All three teams fined $5,000. Each player was fined $500 individually.
Which, by the way, is going to be paid for by their teams, so we all know.
Is that so? The teams will pay the individual suspensions?
Yeah, it happens a lot even with technicals and so on and so forth, where unless it's completely egregious, usually the team, the general manager, has the decision to pick that up. Hmm. And I feel in this case, because we've talked about this kind of a lot in terms of recently with should athletes do they have the right to express their political views on their playing surfaces? And I did that Twitter poll, I want to say last week. It was when we were in Vegas or whatnot. And
we were in Vegas.
Yeah, it was when we were in Vegas. Yeah. And it was after being up for a whole day, there was about, I think 500 to 700 votes. And it was surprising. It got pretty close at the end, but the yeses took it. Yes, it's their right. You may not want to hear it, but it absolutely is their right to do. And the situation that a lot of teams are being put in right now and leagues is that athletes are calling on each other to come together and take up some social issues. And organizations, leagues, franchises, they want to support their players. So it's putting them in a difficult position, I think.
Well, Lisa Borders is the president of the WNBA. She said, quote, "We are proud of WNBA players' engagement and passionate advocacy for nonviolent solutions to difficult social issues, but we expect them to comply with the league's uniform guidelines."
And that's the crutch that they're going to use.
Well,
that
so
it's,
we have
that
these,
it's, not, that mean, it's we, league guidelines, but it's okay for them to make them wear some kind of silly green shirt on recycle day or something like that, but
well,
for them to
the
take
rules.
Those be the rules, because it's making the league money, because they're being paid by whatever company it is to put their logo on this t-shirt.
Making money off these black t-shirts, aren't they? They're charging the players, they're charging the franchises. There's money in that for them.
Yeah, but not the same revenue stream.
Yeah, that's going to charities.
You're being needy right now.
Yeah,
you're being nadish.
Here's the thing. They violated the rule. This is real simple. You take the money, you put it to charity. You said the franchises are probably going to end up paying the players fines. Like, this to me is really cut and dried. They violated the rules. That's not a problem. You have the rule in place for a reason. You fine them some meager amount, whatever it is.
I'm trying to recall, because the NBA did the same exact thing where you had teams that were wearing t-shirts representative of what was going on, right? Some of the political issues, the things with police officers during this last NBA season. I don't recall. Am I mistaken? The NBA did not fine them for that and say that the WNBA and the NBA have the exact same terminology in their CBA in terms of uniforms and wearing uniforms prior to game time. There's no difference. I do not believe that the NBA took up this cause, but yes, they're going to take it up with the women's side because of everything that happened in Minnesota with the players speaking out, wearing those warm-ups, the off-duty police officers that were working privately as security at the Minnesota Lynx game, taking offense to it, walking out of the arena and saying that they will not be working there anymore.
you're talking about was a couple years ago, December. It was the I Can't Breathe t-shirts that Derrick Rose and a couple others wore, and that was after Eric Garner and the chokehold and all that. And the NBA did not find the players.
Thank you.
There's a lot of subsets here to this conversation, and I completely agree with you. The WNBA and NBA, which are basically sister entities, there should be the same rules back and forth. Now, you get into the first question we posed, which was the responsibility. I don't. That's the wrong word. The players taking political stances, and whether or not you agree or disagree. But is there a difference between sending a message within the court? You know, you say and do what you want off the court, out of the arena, even to the media in the locker room. But once you step onto the court, should those messages not exist? And now what happens if somebody is right? Forget about any of the political issues we have right now and social issues. Now what happens if somebody writes somebody's name and number who passed away a couple days ago in memoriam to them on their shoe? Isn't that technically a uniform violation?
Yes, it is.
So I think you need to have a set of rules that are universal, at least within the NBA and WNBA especially. And the issue I think that there's there, and here's another story. Adam Silver is dealing with the Charlotte All-Star Game. They're getting ready to decide whether or not it's going to get moved. And Adam Silver said a while back, quote, a change, and just the background in case you're not familiar with, there's an ordinance that was passed in North Carolina, and it's considered to be anti-LGBT, and a lot of organizations have taken up against this law, and that it is discriminatory. Adam Silver had made some quotes in the past saying a change in the law is necessary for us to play in the kind of environment that we think is appropriate for a celebratory NBA event. And those are tough words to back away from if the law is not changed. Mm-hmm. The assumption, I think, if we're betting on it, is that the All-Star Game will, in fact, be moved if that law is not changed. So you have players making social statements within the confines of the game. You have the NBA now deciding that they may, in fact, move the All-Star Game because of a law. And I think political views aside, let's just say for the sake of argument that the three of us and everybody listening right now agreed that the players have a right to speak and that the law is horrible and the game should be moved. Just for the sake of argument, let's just say everybody agrees. My question is are you running into a danger when you allow athletes to express themselves politically and socially on the floor? And when you move All-Star games, now are you opening it up to, these are laws and these are things we can all get behind, but what happened if, and I won't use any real names, what would happen if John Smith, NBA player, wore a t-shirt that said, don't take away my guns? Or another player wore a shirt that said, Jesus is the one true God. And my point is, where do you draw the line and what is and isn't okay to express politically and socially, and what happens when somebody decides to do that within the court for something that is not, I don't want to say politically correct, I think that's dismissive, but something that maybe most people don't get behind. Now, do you suppress them? Do you have a controversy now? Does this person become an outcast?
Well, I mean, like, what is this bizarre scenario you're coming up with that, like,
Why is it a bizarre scenario?
Well, because in what way is some guy wearing like a pro-gun t-shirt as a warm-up equate to the NBA pulling the All-Star game out of Charlotte because of a discriminatory law?
What you're trying to do in the trap you're falling in, Nate, which I tried to very carefully disclaim before I said it, is I'm not trying to get into a conversation as to which do we get behind more, gun laws or anti-discrimination, because it's a stupid question. My point is, what may make sense to you and I, what may be common sense to you and I, believe it or not, and I know you believe this, there are players and entities and human beings that play professional sports that maybe don't agree with our views. So where do we draw the line where their views may not be in line with ours and the bulk of society, but now do they have the right, not only the right to express them, but the protection to express
them? All opinions matter. Oh, I mean, I guess.
But that's the thing now. Now do we get into a situation where everybody is bringing their political or social agendas into the game, into the field?
I guess, and I would ask, what would you care if they did?
I don't know that I would.
But I mean,
are
like,
you
what's
now
the worst
setting
case scenario?
I look
now,
at it
like,
this way.
I don't want to think about the worst
case
scenario.
As we go down this like nightmare road of, gosh, it's just a free for all now. Everyone gets to have their opinions. Right. Like, what is? I don't know. What's the bad scenario? Because to me, the All-Star game thing, we can just say follow the money, right? Like, if you want, you can be on the right social side, sure, of it, whatever. But, I mean,
okay, worst case scenario, we experienced somebody brought on the text line. Fantastic. Chris Jackson not honoring the national anthem. That caused a giant stir, a huge distraction. Now, what happens if you multiply that times 20? You've got anti-war this.
See, and that, yep, and okay, this is where we get interesting, because for me, I don't think that anyone should, like, I think that forced patriotism is a silly thing about sports as it is anyway. I think that's something that's not necessary. I don't need God Bless America on Sundays at the seventh inning stretch. I don't even need the national anthem before every single sporting event. I think that that's forced patriotism. I think it's not necessary. And I think if someone like Chris Jackson, if that doesn't align with their beliefs, I'm fine with that. I don't think anybody should be forced to do something like that. And I understand that that's controversial for people, but personally, I'm fine with that.
But there's a lot of foreign players on American professional teams. And so we don't play every national anthem for, sure, every single different country that is represented at an NBA game, for example. But when Canada comes, because they have the Toronto Raptors team in Toronto, yes, every stadium plays the O Canada.
Yes.
But this is what I look at, and somebody said this to us last week when we kind of got into this when we were in Vegas. I don't want them to express their views on the field, because if I go to work and do it, I'll get fired. The difference here is I get that point of view and that opinion, because that is true in a lot of cases. However, these athletes have the ability to do it, and they also take on the risk to do it. Just like, you know, Joe Plumber going into his plumbing office, and he works for he goes into his boss owns the company. If he has some kind of a shirt on or whatever that is not company distributed, you know, attire, and he decides to wear a T-shirt that reflects his political views, he's taking on that risk that he could be fired. It's the same thing in essence. They're not going to be let go from the league. They're not going to suspend their contract for something like that, but they could lose endorsements. They could lose a lot of things.
That's their risk.
They're assuming a risk to be able to have a voice.
I'm very much torn, because I generally stand on the side of, dude, you're a human being and you're an adult. You can say what you want. You take the risk with that. And whether I agree with your position or not, Nate, like you just said about the national anthem, we disagree on that. But I completely 1,000,000,000% and would be hypocritical not to at least respect your right to talk about that, just like I would with every player. I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying I think it's an interesting conversation when you get into, everyone has a right outside of the workplace to say and do what you want. Of course, you're going to have consequences on that. But when we get into the realm of sports,
you're talking specifically about the NBA.
I'm talking about the NBA, or, you know, whether it went to
their All-Star game because of a discriminatory law.
Now,
in that sense, Dave, and we kind of didn't touch on that, that is the fact that, yes, we look at these things as sports leagues. However, sports leagues are big money. Mm-hmm. They're big money. They bring in a ton of money, and they have the right to decide as a league if something is not in line with their policies or their views on the world. They have the right to say, look, North Carolina, we, sure, don't like what you're doing there, and we don't want to be representing you to represent us at a very important time, at a very important event for us.
But now let's break it down.
Then you have to deal with the fact that, okay, well, if you're taking the All-Star game out of North Carolina, what are you going to do about Charlotte's NBA team? Is that any
yes.
different?
Yes. And what kind of laws are currently present? And now do you have to vet every state, and make sure all their laws are compliant with your views as a company, as a league, or not go there? And like you said, you have a franchise that plays there full time. What's the difference? Also, let's break it down to franchises as well. What do you as a fan, are you okay with your franchise taking a stance on political and social issues? And I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just asking the question. And again, what happens when your franchise takes a stance on a social issue that you as a fan don't agree with? I think you get into a bit of a lava pit. I don't see anyone publicly
taking a stance that I would disagree with.
Not right
like,
now.
I'm thinking like I don't imagine a scenario where a pro sports franchise steps up in front of something that like I wouldn't agree with. That's kind of the way that like my politics align, and that's, you know what I mean. Like I think if they were going
to
stand,
it's hard for you to answer that question.
Okay,
but I wonder what our callers or texters think.
I'll give you an example.
Because it's hard for me to believe, like say a team coming out, like say the 49ers saying, "Hey, like we should all have assault rifles."
No. But here's the thing. Here, I'll give you an example. After all the stuff that's been going on, I think if a franchise came out and said, "We need gun control in this country," I think that would. That would go over for the most part pretty well in today's climate. But if you had random sports team, I won't even name one, come out and say, we respect the Second Amendment and we need to uphold it. Now, there are a lot of people that agree with that. Whether you or me or Katie don't, there are a lot of people in this country that agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't we now have an issue with if you're a fan of that team and they say we need to uphold the Second Amendment, you don't have an issue with that? You don't have an issue with your team speaking for you as a fan, the players, the jersey that you wear, do you really want to go down that road?
I would sure as hell wonder what the scenario would be that would arise where they would call for that. Yes. I mean, like, that's what would make me curious.
We'll take a break. I think this is a heck of a topic. I really do. And I think it's something that I don't know the right answer at all. I really don't. There's points on both sides and points you've both made that I think are phenomenal. That make this such a tough topic. We'll take a break. When we get back, Chris, we'll take your phone call. Kings Villains, we got to sort out this bracket. We're going to finish it today. We'll let you know who's been nominated. Take any other nominations from you before we put it up online. Your chance to win a tour of the Sacramento Kings' brand-new Golden One Center before it opens. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.